Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2 read, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. As always, I am your host. I am Pastor Bryce. Today, we are delighted to have with us exemplars in the realm of hospitality, since that's what we're talking about today. And most people listening to this, if not everybody, already knows you guys. You get around. But a few people might not. This is Meg and Doug Diekman. Meg and Doug, thank you for being on here today.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to be here.
And I have told you I had specifically thought of you guys for this episode. We're talking about the practice of good works right now. And in the New Testament, as we're going to see, and the Old Testament, one of the major ways that we can do good works is through hospitality. And so when I was preparing this, I was about to write these notes for this episode, and I thought, who do I need to ask to be on this? And you guys were just right there. You were just right there. Because you really have done, everyone's gifted differently, but that really has been a strength of yours, and I've appreciated it, as has like every young person ever in our church, and others as well. I thought as we got started, most everybody knows you, but maybe not everybody. So I thought we could just get started by asking, you guys are a power couple here, but give us the origin story. How did you guys originally meet?
Well, we first met playing volleyball on a church volleyball team, and we were both singles. This was a number of years back, and Meg was a sub, and I saw her, and I thought, wow, who is this beautiful woman playing volleyball? I need to ask her out.
Yeah, I was, we had a singles group, and I was in a women's Bible study and at the time, and there was also a co-ed volleyball team league that they were playing in, and one of the gals in the Bible study was going to have surgery on her foot, and she asked me if I would sub for her. She knew I played in high school, and so Doug was on that team. Wow. And I always have to tell people, Bryce, that we won City 2 years in a row.
Really?
Wow. You won my heart, and you were an answer to many prayers in my life and my parents' life.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wow. It's a blessing.
So we all owe it all to foot surgery. I mean, it is an interesting picture of providence there.
Yes. Amen.
So, well, we're very grateful for you, and the we is pretty much the whole church, honestly, you know, but I'll just say we. So what I wanted to do today is I've already read Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. I wanted to talk a little bit about how hospitality is pretty significant in the Bible by way of introduction. But then for the practical questions of how it should be big in our life, I've got questions for you guys. I wanted to talk about how it's interesting to me. I was first struck by how big hospitality is in the Bible when I was reading, not the Bible. I was reading 1 Clement, which is the earliest Christian writing we have after the New Testament. It was a letter written by Clement. But it's interesting because he has a whole section in there. I just remember it went on and on and on, chapter after chapter after chapter, and he's just talking about hospitality in the Bible, example after example after example, to encourage the people he's writing to show hospitality. But he was drawing examples from things I might not even have thought of in the Bible as being hospitality. So it started there, and I thought, wow, you know, at that time, hospitality meant, it still means a lot today, but not like that. That got me thinking, and then the character of Lot, who is one of the examples he draws on there, really solidified in my mind just how big hospitality is in the Bible, because I think everybody's had that, I don't know, struggle when you read 2 Peter 2:7, where it calls Lot a righteous man. He was righteous Lot, which when you read of Lot's story in the Old Testament, in Sodom, maybe wouldn't have been the first adjective that you would pull out concerning Lot, especially when he tries to give away his two daughters to the people beating down his door because the angels who were staying there with him. So how could he be a righteous Lot? Now, I don't want to offer any excuse whatsoever for his offering of his daughters. That's just sick and wrong and twisted, and he never should have done that. So let's say that first of all. But how he could still be a righteous man, I think what's interesting is when we read that story today in our cultural context, what we miss that I think they would have seen much more clearly back then is Lot showed hospitality. That's a lot of the story. I mean, the angels first come to Abraham and he shows them hospitality. And I think that's what's meant in our passage, Hebrews 13:2. Don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. He may be referring to Abraham entertaining those angels, not knowing they were angels. Then two of those angels go down to the city to Lot, and the angels say, we're going to sleep in the square. And Lot says, no, you've got to stay at my house. And even when the town comes in all their wickedness to break down the door and take the men, Lot should not have offered his daughters. But even that, he's trying to protect the people he's hosting in his home. So that hospitality, which God views highly, it's big in the Bible, and we see that in Hebrews 13:2. However, it's one thing to see it in the Bible, and it's different to see it in our lives. So now I do want to ask you a few questions, because you guys really have lived out hospitality very, very much. So for the rest of us who are looking up to you and are trying to walk in your footsteps in this regard, and that's not flattery, that's genuine, that's true, that's a true statement. One of the very first things I thought I would ask is for both of you, how did you get into hospitality? You are just the hospitality people, but you have to start at some point. Mm-hmm. So was that like a natural thing for you guys? Did you think about that? How did that happen?
Well, for me, Bryce, it was really modeled for me growing up. I will have to say that I really inherited it from my parents. My parents, there were four of us growing up, and we all were a year apart. So we all really had the same friends. But just even as a little girl, I grew up in Arkansas, and I just, from as long as I can remember, my parents were always having people over. I remember a gal named Phoebe when I was just a little girl that came to our house. She was a missionary, and mother and daddy opened up their house to her. And I think she stayed with us for, you know, quite some time. And so just to several missionaries. And then my parents were just always involved in ministry and inviting people into the house. But not even ministry. My mom and I were just recently talking about this too. But she said, oh, yeah, we, even after football games, we would have food at the house, and everybody would come over and have food at the house. And so I just grew up with it. And to me, it was just a gift. I mean, it was just a treasure. And I think all three of my siblings would say the same thing. We loved it. And, you know, they just modeled at the time. You know, I wasn't a believer at the time. And so I wasn't looking at it in that way, but my parents were believers. And so, now as an adult and a believer, I can look at it and see, you know, just, how scripture it is, you know, it is a way of just sharing the gospel with people and inviting people in to your home and into your life, and let them really see Jesus in your life. And so that's how it was for me. And then also when Doug and I got married, just a really significant day when all this started for me. We were getting ready to remodel our farmhouse, which was Doug's grandparents' house. And we had put our boys out on the west side and schools out on the west side. And so every day we would come and check on the house to see how the construction was going. But even really before the construction even started on our house, I drove up in the driveway after dropping the boys off at school one day. And I was just really, in my mind, I was just thinking, I'm going to turn around the driveway and I'm going to, you know, just check and see how things are, look at the house before they start on it. And I pulled around in the driveway and something just told me, of course, the Holy Spirit just told me to start praying over that house. And I get emotional thinking about it, but I started praying and, I just said, Lord, this is yours. Use it as you want. Never did I dream what he had in mind. So Doug's grandparents were just godly people who lived in that house and just had filled it with their love and their prayers. And I wanted to carry that on.
You certainly have. I mean, you really have.
So, yeah. So then after that, we just, little did we know, we were got involved in some ministries and kids just came from all over, you know, through our doors. And
the only thing I would add to that, besides those truths that you said, is we consider everything that we have to be the Lord's.
Amen.
Our home, our resources, mm-hmm. our bodies, everything. And so we want to use everything that we have for His kingdom. Yeah. So if people say, can I borrow? The answer is yes. Now, if they can't drive my truck, then they can't borrow it. But
can, what kind of truck
can we have something at your home? The answer is yes.
Yes.
And we love to do that. We are blessed by having people in our home.
Yes.
No. So having your whole life available to the Lord, that's a great principle as we're opening our homes and lives in hospitality. You know, sometimes the challenge comes not from the resources or things that we have, but more from schedules. Schedules get crazy and schedules get busy. And so the question I have, I was thinking for you, Doug, especially as you're leading your household here, when we do hospitality, you know, it doesn't make our schedules easier. People aren't just predictable and they just fit in the little slots you want to put them in. So that can be a hindrance for people as we're trying to do hospitality. How have you managed that to be able to still show hospitality while you have all the other responsibilities that you have?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we do to manage that is we just try to be open to what the Lord, where He's leading us. We spend time in the mornings praying for people. And so when those people contact us and say, can we come over and have dinner tonight? We need to talk to you about it. We say, this is an answer to prayer. This is what we've been asking for. And you're right. It is hard on schedules. And I will say, as a banker, it's hard on budgets too. but it's absolutely worth it. And so, you know, as we manage the schedules and manage the budgets, we do say to each other, we need to have a night off, or we need to have a night on the weekend off, because we could fill up every night with that, and that may not be the healthiest choice for us as a couple. So we have to set some healthy boundaries, and not everything costs money. You know, sometimes people just want to come over and talk or come over and play a board game, and that's fine, and sometimes we feed them. So, you know, it's balancing all of those things, and frankly, the Lord has blessed us, so we want to be a blessing back to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that mindset and how you guys have lived out your life kind of reminds me of Rosaria Butterfield. Mm. She wrote a book called The Gospel Comes with a House Key on hospitality, but I do remember in that book she talked about having a porous home. So your lives are porous. There are holes where people can get in, which is exactly what you're talking about here. Now, that's you managing the household and calendar and so forth. I think about this, again, going back to Abraham, when the angels show up. He's unawares. He doesn't know they're angels, maybe, but these men show up at least. He probably figures something's going on here. And immediately he runs. He says, stay here. I'll get you some food. He runs to go grab a goat. But he goes in the tent and says, Sarah, make some bread. And it is true that in hospitality, husbands are called to lead in that. But if you're married, a lot of that often falls onto a wife who's keeping the home. Mm-hmm. So I thought maybe could you talk a little bit how that's been for you as a wife as you're bearing the burden of hospitality?
I mean, I love it. I would say, you know, I can get easily stressed at times. And so I think sometimes for me, like, you know, just you might have a busy day and, you know, actually this just happened probably not just a few months ago, but, you know, just coming home and having a busy day and not having everything like prepared perfectly. And, but, you know, I had a time like that recently, and then they all start coming over. And then by the time they leave that night, you just feel so blessed, you know? And I think to myself, why was I even stressed? You know, because like Doug said, they don't really care. You know, they love just the community and the fellowship. And I think people are just thrilled to, you know, just really get anything to eat, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, especially college
kids.
Yeah,
I was going to say college, especially eating the cardboard from the pizza boxes.
Right. And so I think that's been a challenge for me, but the Lord has really had to work on that with me too, because that's not important, you know? And just opening up your house is what's important, and sharing the love of Christ is. And I love to cook, you know, that's not a challenge for me. I love to cook. I love to bake. I think the other thing is for me is feeling like, since I'm the hostess, that it's my job to make sure everybody's content, everybody has what they need. If there's people there that don't know each other, making sure that, you know, people have been introduced to each other. And that's, you know, I've had to really work through that too, because I've learned as time goes on that I don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. It's just not, it's not that important. So sometimes I feel like because it's my own fault, because I have that feeling, I miss out, you know, on really enjoying the whole night or the whole situation. So,
yeah.
One thing I would add is that this is not my gifting, but it's Meg's. Mm. And so what I've found is after 28 years of marriage, I've grown into this, just as I've seen her grow into some of the gifting that I have. So maybe my gifting is more mentoring, but now I see her doing mentoring because of hospitality that we've done together. So now, where I might have at first been a person who thought, oh my gosh, people are coming over again. You know, I just want to sit here in my underwear and watch TV, right? But
as everyone thinks.
Right. But she has really stretched me. And I think the Holy Spirit has grown me in this area where this was not a gifting of mine. And I'm blessed because she's grown me and the Holy Spirit has grown me in this way.
And real quick, I think another challenge for me has been, but the Lord's opened my eyes to it in a different way. I think having kids at home, at times I thought, am I taking away from my own kids because I'm having all these other people over? But no, I mean, I look back on my life and how my parents modeled it, and I don't look at it that way. I look at it as, you know, they were really modeling Christ for me, you know? I mean, really, because we are to serve Christ, and that is a great way to serve Christ. And so hopefully, and I think, you know, I know they've said it at times, our boys, you know, are at that age, but I think, you know, they will look back on that one day and see what a blessing that was, you know, to be able to watch that and see that. So
yeah, it's probably one of the harder things for children growing up to hear their parents say, we love Christ and we love people, and then never to see a demonstration of it.
Right.
Even if it's because you're wanting to shield your kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that's harder for kids to reconcile as they get older and exactly. Go, wait a minute, than to have all the crazies over to your house, which is wild, but it just demonstrates, hey, yes, we do believe what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting as you guys are sharing, because you both have given good reasons for why you should never have done hospitality. It's not your gifting. You've talked about the weight of having to think, okay, how do I think for everybody here and the preparation? Is my house ready? So that's a lot. Those are a lot of reasons that could lead you just not to do hospitality. And for many of us, it does lead us to that very thing. So that's my last question is, okay, but you've done it. You've done it anyways. So maybe could you help us a little? These excuses are, you know, they come up, I think, for a lot of people listening. And they could be anything. It could be, well, we got young kids, you know, we can't, well, we have young kids, there's bedtimes, we got older kids and they got sports and we can't do it. We don't have any kids in our home, we can't be, like, we make up all the excuses, you know, our house isn't nice enough, or I'm single, I'm not married, I can't invite somebody, whatever. Mm-hmm. Help us overcome these excuses. How do we just do hospitality when we've got all these reasons not to do it?
Well, I'll start, then you can bat cleanup, honey. I would say that just doing it and being faithful to do it is key. Establish boundaries, and if needed, establish a budget. You know, be practical in those things, but also be open to the fact that God may be answering some of your prayers or answering other people's prayers in your invitation. And I would also say, and Meg is really good at this, be spontaneous. There's nothing wrong with having no plans on a Sunday afternoon and calling someone and saying, do you want to go to Newburgh and walk the river trail and get ice cream? You know, there's nothing wrong with doing that sort of thing. But I think just being open to doing it and easing your way into it. I mean, we're at a place where we have to say, okay, we're busy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, let's take Friday off. But I think being open to it and working, communicating as a couple and working together as a couple is a real key.
Mm-hmm. And I would just say, you know, when people have excuses, when we have, we can make excuses for anything. But, you know, when we do, we just miss out on so many blessings. We really do. And, you know, we may miss out on something that God has really intended for us to do and that wants somebody else to be blessed by or wants us to, you know, to be blessed. And one thing, you know, as I've been thinking about this, about hospitality is, you know, we say that it's a gift, and it may be a gift of mine, but whether it's a gift of mine or not, God commands us to be hospitable. And, you know, I have, you know, several verses, scripture verses written down here. First Peter 4, Romans 12:13, Hebrews 13:2, which you just, you know, read, which I just love because you could be entertaining angels. Yeah. I love that. And then in Titus, you know, it talks about that it is a command to be hospitable. That's just part, you know, when Christ says, follow me, that's part of following him is, you know, and we have to give up maybe things that we don't want to do or give up the, just surrender the part of, you know, maybe my house doesn't look good or maybe, you know, we don't have the money. I mean, I will say, Bryce, we have, you know, had kids over and we serve them cereal.
There you go.
We just cost efficient, have various yep. kinds of cereal. And I mean, that has been one of their favorite meals. Yep, yep. They love it. But I also want to add too, I just thought of this, that it was your wife was coming over to our house. And it was one day when she came over to our house that she shared with me, Meg, guess who I just had coffee with? I'll never forget. I was standing at my microwave and I turned around and I said, who? And she said, Bryce Beal. And I was about to jump up and down. So, you know what? It was Michaela coming over to our house and she did a lot. We consider her like a daughter. And so I feel like we, you know, what a blessing. We got to be one of the first people that got to hear about your relationship.
I mean, truly. And I mean, we had talked about this before, too. You guys, you have your three sons, mm-hmm. and then you have many, many more sons yes. and daughters, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a true sense, and Michaela and I have been grateful to have you in our lives all the way back then as well. You're a pivotal part of that. Well, thank you both very much for being on here and giving us some counsel. And now we all have to just do it. We have to watch what you're doing, listen to what you're saying. We've got to do it. But thank you for being on here and sharing with us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, you who are listening to this, maybe life is very busy for you. And so maybe you've not even thought about hospitality. It's the last thing you're thinking about. Or maybe you have thought about it, but you've got a lot of excuses for why not to do it. Whatever the case may be, may God help us all now by his grace to think this way. Thank you.